up, Planet Shakers? We want to welcome you again for another week. Today, I got the privilege of preaching to you a word that I've called All In for the Calling. Check this out. I believe it's going to bless you.
I feel like God's just giving me just a simple message to share today. And I've called it All In for the Calling. I want to speak to us today about the calling that God has for us. God, we thank you today for your word, for the power that is in your word. God, I pray that you would speak to people today. Speak to us about the call that you have. Speak to us, and maybe some people don't even know they've got a call. God, speak to them today. Lord, maybe some of us need to be stirred up in our call. Lord, stir us up today. God, I pray that we would walk out different to how we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can take a break. Bless you. I want to share today, All In for the Calling. I want to share to you out of the book of Luke, chapter number 9. It says this in verse 23. I'm going to try that again. Luke, chapter 9, verse 23. All right, cool. Just making sure you're all awake. Wake up. Then he said to the guys, Jesus talking to a crowd and talking to his disciples. He said, if any of you want to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways. Hello. Take up your cross daily and follow me. But if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but are yourself lost or destroyed? All in for the calling, all in for the calling. Jesus is talking to his disciples about what it takes to follow the call of God upon your life. Do you know that God has a call for your life? Do you know that God has a plan for your life? You know, one of the first things that happened when I was saved, I remember the moment I was in an environment like this in Planet Shakers Conference years and years and years ago in a different city. And I remember responding to an altar call. And the first thing that got me when I was saved is obviously the love of God. I was like, wow. And then one of the very next things after that that just so took me, no one was talking about it on stage. It was just in the presence and the power of that encounter that I was having with my Creator. Is all of a sudden I came to a point of revelation where I realized God had created me for a purpose. And that to me was mind-blowing. Even as a teenager, I was trying to work out what was the purpose for me even existing on this planet. Surely there's got to be more to it than just getting an education, getting a job, getting a mortgage, getting a wife, getting some kids, and then eventually getting dead. Surely there's got to be more than just existing. And in that moment, I came to a point of revelation that God didn't just create me to take up space and to suck up oxygen, that there was an actual purpose for my existence. You read in the Bible, I read this later on, what I was experiencing, the revelation in that moment, I read later on in the Word of God, where God says in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. And by the way, they are plans to give you a hope and a future. That's a good plan. Elsewhere, Jesus says in John 10:10, he says, I came to bring life, and not just any life, life greater than you could imagine. So God has a plan for me. God wants to give me a great life. And you know why he wants to give us a great life? It's because in Genesis chapter 1, God says that we are made in the image of God. And God is a great, you are made in the image of God. You know, and God is a great God. So if you're made in the image of a great God, then you are called to live a great life. I don't know if you believe that. You're not here to live a mediocre. You've got a God who doesn't just have mediocre plans for you, that doesn't just have boring plans for you, that doesn't just have a cookie cutter plan for you. God has an individual, unique, great plan for your life that is greater than you could imagine. God has something for you in a calling. It says in Jeremiah chapter 1 that God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. That means, you know, some people have grown up thinking that they were a mistake, thinking that they were just the result of a bad decision. They were the result of maybe just a one-night stand. But can I tell you, that's not what you were the result of. It doesn't matter how your parents might have come together to conceive you, because God says before they even met each other, he knew you. Before that even took place, he knew you. Before he fashioned and formed you, he had a plan for your life. It was a great plan, a plan to give you a future and give you a hope. We got good news in the call of God today. So when I think about the calling, that's something to get excited about. When I understand that God, the God of the universe, has a call for me, that's good news. And I remember not long after I was saved, it became what, I don't know what gave me this revelation, but it just gave me, God has a plan for my life. And I began to pray this prayer as a young Christian. God, I don't want to miss my calling. I was so fixated on this prayer. I don't want to miss what you've called me to. I was so scared, right? That through some dumb decision, I would mess up my calling. And I just had this picture. It's not in the Bible. It's just in my imagination. I had this picture of getting to heaven one day and standing before the Lord. He's like, what'd you do with your life? I'm like, I did this. It was awesome. And then God just kind of pulls back the curtains. It's like, well, this is what I had for you. Kind of settled for that, didn't you? I just had this imaginary picture in my mind going, it scared me. It was like, no, God, I don't want to mess up my calling. And I was so scared of making, every time I would make a mistake, I was so scared that I was going to mess up my calling. Now, thank God, I made some mistakes along the way. I mean, it's been years since I made a mistake. I've been really good for a while, but not true. Absolutely, I've made mistakes, but I learned two things. Firstly, thank God, God's grace was greater than my mistakes. Of course, I made mistakes along the way. Of course, I didn't get it perfect. But thank God for His grace that He was still able to take me on a journey greater than I could ever go on my own. So firstly, God's grace was greater than the mistakes that I made. But secondly, I believe it was because I was praying those prayers that I did make some of the major decisions I made in my life. Some people make decisions based on such interesting metrics. We come into church and we understand that God has a call for our life. But then when it comes to making large decisions, we put God last on the list and say, well, God, how big will the pay packet be? How good is the opportunity? How good is the position? How big is the title? How successful and fulfilled will I feel? Who is coming on this journey with me? And we make all of these decisions based on who's going on the journey with us, or how big our bank balance is going to be, or how prestigious the title is going to be. And then at the end, once we've made our decision, then we say, oh God, would you bless the decision I've made? Instead of saying, God, what is it that you've got for me? I think if it wasn't for the call of God, maybe I never would have moved to Melbourne. If it wasn't for praying that prayer about missing out on my calling, I might have moved to Melbourne, but I almost certainly wouldn't have stayed when it got hard. And if I never moved to Melbourne, or if I never stayed in Melbourne, then I probably would have never met Chelsea, and I probably never would have married her. I would have married someone else. Someone far inferior. Because, you know, I could never have done better. The Lord bless me. The Lord bless me. When I met Chelsea, the Lord blessed me by blinding her for about 12 months, and eventually she agreed to marry me, and then God took off the blind. It's like too late, sucked in, got this. Bless me, yo. But if it wasn't for the call of God, I would have made some very different decisions in my life. If I hadn't prayed about the call of God, number one, it's like, God, does this line up with what you've called me to? My decisions would have been so different. And what I read here, in this passage out of Luke, I want to read to you this last sentence again. Jesus said, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but are yourself lost or destroyed? So literally what Jesus is saying is you can go your own way. You can say, yes, I know God has a call for my life. It's a great call because He promises me it's great. He gives me future. He gives me hope, but I'm going this way. And you can do that. And Jesus says, you can do that to the point of having so much success that you literally have the whole world. Imagine in your vocation, in your line of work, in whatever it is that you're passionate about, being so good and so successful that you are the best of the best of the, in the whole globe, you're it. Jesus says, you can get to that point where you're the most successful, most prestigious, got the biggest bank balance in the whole world. Can I tell you, nothing wrong with a good title. Nothing wrong with a great job. Nothing wrong with a big bank balance. God ain't against any of those things. But He says, if you're doing that going your own way, you can go so successful that you gain the whole world, but you still won't be fulfilled. But when you follow the call of God, whether it comes with prestige or not, whether it comes with a title or not, whether it comes with a bank balance this big or this big, when you follow the call of God, Jesus is saying to us, there is such a fulfillment and a satisfaction that happens deep within our soul that what you were created for lines up with what you were doing, who God called you to be lines up with what you're seeing in the mirror. Then all of a sudden something happens deep inside of your heart. And I'm telling you, the plans and the purposes that God has for your life are greater. And you can see right now. And there's a story in the Bible that I feel like illustrates this so well. And it's the story of a man named Jonah. And Jonah, if you turn to the book of Jonah, you can find it if you want. It's actually quite hard to find. It's on page 747, if you have exactly the same Bible I have, which most of you probably don't. Most of your Bibles glow. So, you know, my Bible has a battery which never runs out. So the book of Jonah is literally that long. That's the whole story. One man's life fit on this. It is not a big story. If you haven't read it before, read it when you go home. It's going to take you all of about 2 minutes. But it's such an interesting story. We read right at the start of Jonah. We understand that Jonah and us are basically the same, because we realize the Bible says that the call of God came to Jonah. Now, right there, the first sentence tells you that me and him are the same. Us and him are the same. We are people of God. For the most part in this room, most of us are in a relationship with God. So we know God. Jonah heard from God. We want to hear from God. And then all of a sudden, Jonah got a call from God. We got a call from God. So we're the same. He was a good guy, man of faith, heard the voice of God, heard the call of God. And you know, sometimes, right, when the call of God comes to us, I don't know about you, but sometimes we can find ourselves resisting the call of God. You know, like when God was calling me to move to Melbourne, I just made sure that I prayed about that a number of times. I'm like, are you sure, God? Are we sure? God speaks to you. Sometimes he'll say, you know what you should do? You should go and pay for that person's lunch. And our response is, I rebuke you, devil. God's called me to keep my money. He wants to bless me. Bless me indeed. God tries to speak to us. And we resist. God says, step out and bless. We're like, no, not now. We step out and encourage. No, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. The Bible says that also. And we resist sometimes. Come on, don't leave me hanging up here like I'm the only one that does. I'm going to call you out. You do it too. And so we have these moments where we can resist. Sometimes God will speak to us about big things, about stepping out in faith. And we're like, whoa. And I understand that. Sometimes it just takes a couple of times of God speaking to us to say, okay, I really do believe that you, now I am going to step out in faith. And so I don't think it's all that foreign to any of us. And sometimes we would resist the call of God just a little bit. We're good people. Jonah's crazy, yo. He didn't resist the call of God. He literally ran the other way. God says to Jonah, he goes, I want you to go over here. I want you to preach a message to these people. Jonah says, okay. He went this way. Literally just took off the other direction. He packed up his life and moved cities. I don't know if you all have ever moved cities before. That's a lot of effort. I've moved cities just twice in my life. That was a lot. I've moved house a few times. I hate moving house. Last time I moved house, I didn't even move house. I was away. My wife had to move house for us. Thank you very much. It's very generous of you. It's fantastic. It's brilliant. I didn't have to do it. I ain't moving. He literally went to so much effort to get away from the call of God. He moved cities. That takes a lot of effort to resist. He was committed to his resistance. But if you know the story of Jonah, I mean, like it's a Sunday school Planet Kids perfect story, you know, it's unreal. If I was an illustrated sermon kind of guy, I'd have like a big fish in that pond right now over there. It'd be awesome. But anyway, there's a shipwreck and Jonah goes overboard. He gets swallowed by a big fish. He repents. He's like, God, I'm sorry. I will follow you. Send me. I will go. Fish vomits him up. Jonah's like, all right. And he takes off towards Nineveh. And the Bible, I want to pick it up in Jonah chapter 3. It says this in chapter 3, verse 3. It says, this time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command. That right there, by the way, that's good news. Jonah didn't get it right the first time. You may not get it right the first time. So good. God's a God of many chances. Thank God. This time, Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. We read later on in the book of Jonah that there was 120,000 people that lived in Nineveh. By ancient times, this was a mega city, like legit. This was the Tokyo, the New York of its time. Like, it was ginormous. And it says in verse 4, on the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. That's it. That's the whole message. That's the full stop. Verse 5, the people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast. They put on burlap to show their sorrow. He preached a simple message. No stage, no microphone, no church service, no one to introduce him. He just started going up to people and preached a simple message. He was not an impressive preacher. He did not have an articulate sermon. None of his points rhymed. Because, you know, to be a powerful preacher, you got to have a keyboard player to bring the anointing, and you got to have points that rhyme. Like, you could say it's almost a crime. Come on, out of 10, that was at least a 9. No! Stop it. Don't make me go there. Come on. I'll start preaching about Jesus turning water into wine. Bam! Stop it. But he was not an impressive preacher. He did not have a great, he just had one sentence. That's it, just one sentence. It wasn't even that good a message. It certainly wasn't positive. You're not going to walk out of that service going, God loves me. Isn't life, he's got a call for me. He's like, y'all are going to die. That was a whole message. But through this simple message of one man just saying, I got a word of God in my mouth and I got a call of God upon my life and I'm just going to be obedient to that call, just through simple obedience, the Bible tells us every single person in that city, from the greatest to the least, in that mega city, every person was saved. That's a good day at the office. How did they all hear the message? There was no TV. There was no Instagram. There was no streaming. Welcome to everybody watching online. There was no Twitter. There wasn't even any MySpace. Jonah just simply went up to people and opened his mouth and began to talk. It wasn't a good sermon. It was just a word from God. And church, that is the power of a word from God. That is the power of someone who will say, you know what, God, I'm going to be obedient to what you've called me to do. The power of living in the call that God has upon your life. And for all of us, just like Jonah, we all can do that. We all can open our mouth and walk up to someone and share a message that God puts in our mouth. See, you do not need a microphone to speak a message. You do not need a stage to preach a sermon. All we gotta do is walk up to people and open our mouth, and you all can be a witness to the goodness of God. Because I've been talking to us so far about our calling. And God has a great call for your life. But can I let you know, the call of God upon your life is not for prominence. Some people may have prominence, but God doesn't call us to a life of prominence. God is not saving us for safety. God is saving us so that we can save others. That's why God is saving us. That's the purpose of us, our calling. There's another thing that we can learn from the book of Jonah about the call, is that God moved in a way that Jonah didn't expect. And I love this, the irony of what Jonah got so upset about. See, Jonah rocks up and starts preaching, says, you're gonna die. Then he walks away and God saved him. Jonah went and sat on a hill. You would think, right, as a preacher, a one-sentence preacher at that, a simple sermon preacher, you would think as a preacher, you'd be pretty happy if you preached one message and 120,000 lives were changed. I pray that one day I can be that bad a preacher. One day, 120,000. But instead of being happy that 120,000 lives were changed, he goes and gets upset with God. He's like, God, I knew you were going to do this. That's why I didn't even want to come here in the first place. I knew that if I came, all of these lives, how's the audacity in that? How's the confidence? He was confident, wasn't he? I knew that if I came, you were going to change all of these lives. The irony is that Jonah was so upset in the mercy of God shown to other people, when it was only by the mercy of God that he was delivered out of the belly of the whale himself. And you'll look at that and you're like, what a fool. He's so emotional. He's like, yeah, yeah, but you are too. I am too. Because we all can do the same thing. We make mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. And you know what God is with us? He's patient. And then someone hurts us. We're like, God, they did the wrong thing. I call down fire and brimstone. And God says, nah, I'm going to be patient with them too. And the same patience that God showed with us, we get upset when he shows to other people. You know, this call of God that he has upon us. Sometimes we're not going to understand the methods. Sometimes we're not going to understand the direction. Sometimes we're not going to understand the circumstances that we find ourselves in. But when you get filled with the power of God, God has a life of breakthrough, a life of miracles, a life of salvation. Like Jonah, a life of revival, a life of breakthrough, a life of glory. This is the life that God has in store for us. This is the greatness of his calling. I mean, the same God that has put a call upon your life, his word says about himself, that he is the one who is able to do far over and above more than we could dare ask, hope, think, imagine, dream, pray about. That's what he says about his character, and that is the character of the God who has put a call upon your life, so you can be sure that as great as you think your calling is, it's actually so much greater. And it's not so that you would be great, it's so the greatness of God would touch your world around you. That's the call of God upon your life. You see, I was just sharing at the start of today that, you know, all the things that we've seen over the last couple of weeks of O-Week. I shared the 400 plus people who came into Planet Uni Central, and the 4,500 people that we met on campus, and the hundreds of others that have come into different services. And, you know, I was out in the foyer having a conversation with one guy last Saturday. I started talking to him. I didn't have a microphone in my hand. I wasn't standing on a platform. I was actually just standing in the outside the foyer on the sidewalk. And he just started asking me all of these questions about our belief in God and what we believed about our God. He's comparing them to all different religions. He's like, well, isn't this religion and this religion and this religion? And you all have basically the same God. And what's really the difference? Isn't it all just the same? And this and this and this. And I understand that he had some intellectual questions in his head. And I was happy to have an intellectual conversation with him to satisfy the intellectual questions he had. And so I began to talk to him about how, well, there's one God, the one true God. And God did not send his son to die upon the cross just so we could be religious, just so we could have some kind of religious expression and live life bound by rules and regulations. In fact, the reason God gave his son Jesus to die upon the cross was for relationship. He gave it all just so we could be in relationship. And I began to talk to him about this. The thing is, in my head, right, I understand that we were having an intellectual conversation, answering theological questions that he had. But I also knew that I wasn't going to see him saved by appealing to his intellect. I knew that I wanted to keep him talking long enough to see him come into this room so that he could step into the presence of God, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I knew that if he get himself in the presence of God to hear the word of God about his life, that God has a plan for him, God has a call for him, God has a destiny for him, God gave his son for him. I knew that if we could get him in this environment, that he would be saved. And so the truth is, it wasn't that impressive what we were talking about out there, but I knew that if I could answer his questions long enough to say, hey, just come in and experience God. And he came in, had an encounter with God. And as after the service, I was talking to a different young man out in CL. And he had responded to the altar call, I found out. But he began talking to me about all of these concerns and questions that he had. And see, he grew up in a country where there was control placed upon its citizens.
I don't mean control like keeping order and keeping peace, but I literally mean control like this particular country's ideology was about controlling what you were even allowed to believe and not believe. And so he's come out of a country where you were controlled into the way you were allowed to think, and he's come into this nation and he came into this service, and something in his heart caused him to respond to the altar call. But after the service, he had so many questions in his head that were causing all this fear. And the fear was overwhelming what God was doing in his heart. Now, honestly, the questions he was asking, I almost wanted to laugh at him, not because he thought it was a joke, but he literally had no concept of God. The questions to me were ridiculous, but to him were so real. And he began saying, well, what if God controls me? Can't God control me? And now I've come into church, like, can't he force me to do this and force me to? And he was so scared about being controlled, right? And after having this conversation and understanding why he felt the way he felt, I felt so sad for him. And I began to explain to him, I was like, well, no, God's created us all with free will. It was your choice to come in the doors tonight. No one forced you in here. It can be your choice to walk out of here and never come back if you want. That's your choice. But let me encourage you. You got the choice to come and encounter God, and encounter the presence God has made you with. And I just began to answer his questions, right? Again, it wasn't an impressive conversation. I had no microphone in my hand. I had no stage under my feet. I was just sitting and talking with him and helping him overcome his fears so he could begin to understand what God had done in his heart. And I could tell you dozens and dozens and dozens of stories just like this from the last few weeks that have just come from people opening their mouth and saying, hey, do you want to come to church? Hey, do you want to come and encounter God? Hey, do you want to come and check out what God is doing? Hey, can I answer your questions about what your perception of God is like? Can I change your perception from one of just being rituals and rules and regulations and religion to being one of relationship, that God would give his love? And all it was, I can tell you the story about how on the very first day of campus, O-Week this year, the first campus we were on, I wasn't there, had a day off, praise God. But Pastor Noelle was there. She was working hard. She did not have the day off, hard worker. And she began to talk to this girl who just came up to us on campus and started saying, oh, what's Planet Union? They got talking. And one thing led to another, and she just began to ask, well, how can I be saved? How can I be a Christian? And Pastor Noel got to lead her in the sinner's prayer and lead her to the Lord right there on campus on our first day of O-Week. And there are so many different encounters like this that have taken place, but I want to ask you today. Many of you in this room were part of O-Week. Many, many more of you in this room were not part of O-Week. You are not in university ministry. But I want to ask you a hypothetical question. As if you were even part of O-Week this year, does it have to end? Now that the event has come to an end, now that the scheduled calendar events have come to an end, does reaching our world, does helping people encounter God, leading them into salvation, breaking their concept of religion, bringing them into God's invitation of relationship, does it have to end now that the event has ended? You may not have been a part of O-Week, but I'm sure most of us have been calling people up for conference, inviting people along to say, hey, you gotta come along. I'll sponsor you. I'll allocate you. You can be a part of my group. And if you're not doing that yet, well, just go on now and do it. But the event, understand, the event is not bad. The events are good. The events are a catalyst. The events are a corporate opportunity. The event, it helps us. But when there is no event, is there anything stopping us from walking back into our workplace tomorrow, from walking into university on Wednesday, from walking into our family homes after Urban Life Group and saying, you know what? I got a word of God for you. God's got a plan for you. God wants to heal you. God wants to bring breakthrough for you. God wants to reach you. God wants to restore you. I got a plan for your life. His name is Jesus. Is there anything stopping us doing that? Jonah had no platform, no microphone, no event. And it can be as simple for us as opening our mouth, as inviting someone, praying for someone, sponsoring someone. And I also want you to notice that about this story of Jonah, he wasn't that talented. He was not that skilled. And thank God, skill is not a prerequisite for the call of God. Thank God that talent is not a prerequisite for the call of God. Jonah was, he had one sentence to preach. You know what that tells us? Is it tells us whatever your skill level, whatever your qualification level, we all can do something. You know, sometimes I speak to people and they have such big visions and great visions of what God wants to do in their life. And can I tell you, that's correct. Like we go to a church where our pastor has big words over us every year. Notice last year was not the year of marginal increase. This year is not the year of some through. Nah, it didn't work. It's not the year of breakthrough. It's the year of breakthrough. A few years ago, we didn't have the year of little flow. We had the year of overflow. And so we come into a presence like this where our pastor, thank God, our pastor puts us in connection with the greatness of God and said, God doesn't just have a little vision for your life. God has a huge vision for your life. You got to have a huge dream for your life. God has a huge calling for you. And you know what? That is true. That is absolutely true. But sometimes our problem is that we have a big grand idea to do something great for God, but this idea of doing something great for God is paralyzing us from doing something small for God right now. So many people end up doing nothing. Can I remind you that doing something is always better than doing nothing? All it takes is someone who would step out in faith, someone who would pray for another, someone who would invite another, someone who would sponsor someone, someone who would step out and volunteer. Sometimes all it takes is something small. We got a conference coming up. And people are like, you know what? I'm not called to roll a cable. That's not my calling. God's called me to take over Joff's position. Someone's gonna roll my cables. So, well, you know what? Maybe one day you will lead. But we all start somewhere. Doesn't take much talent to roll a cable. Just takes willingness. It's like, I'm not called to drive a truck for conference. I'm called to plant my own Planet Shakers campus. Cool. One day maybe you will, but today you ain't ready for that. Start over here. And sometimes we get these great plans for God and we just want to start here. And God says, start here. You're like, God, but this doesn't look like this. And God's like, it's all good. You got to give up your life and give up your way of doing things and just trust me that I know what I'm doing and I know how I'm doing it. And sometimes it starts by rolling a cable or volunteering for conference or sponsoring for conference or stepping out and inviting someone to church. Sometimes it starts with just that. Sometimes it starts with just a one sentence sermon. It's not impressive. It doesn't rhyme. It's not articulate, but it's faithful. It's obedient. It lines up with the call that God has upon your life. And if we would have a church full of people who just say, God, doesn't matter whether it's small or whether it's big, if this is what you've called me to be a part of, then I want to be a part of it. Because Planet Shakers, I believe that God wants to save this city. I believe that God wants to reach a generation of university students. I believe that God has breakthrough and glory for us. I believe that God has a great call for your life. But I believe that God is calling you to roll the cables and drive the trucks and usher people in and invite people and sponsor people. And it starts here, but God has taken us there. Come on, give God a praise if you believe that today. It's all over this room with every person standing. Bible says those who are faithful with little will be given authority over much. I believe the presence of God is here today. I believe that God wants to stir people up in their calling today. Maybe you hear as I've been speaking and the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you at the same time, beginning to stir you up, say, come on. Come on, when's the last time you invited someone? When's the last time you signed up to volunteer? You know, we had this outreach event on Wednesday night. Do you know what happened as soon as the outreach event was over? I started packing up the drum kit. I was the preacher, yo. I started packing up the drum kit, rolling the cables and taping things up and sweeping. I loved it because I understand you never graduate from serving. Maybe in your heart, some of you all have. And I want to encourage us
We got this opportunity in 3 weeks to gather together as a body and put on something so supernatural and so powerful that would change a city. If one man through one conversation could see 120,000 people saved, what could all of us do? What could we do? I believe the Holy Spirit is stirring people up in their calling today. I also believe there are people that have walked in this room, and like the first time I ever encountered the presence of God, I had no idea God had a call for me. But when I walked out of that room that night, I was sure that I was sure that I was sure. I didn't know how it would happen, but I knew God had a call for my life.
Well, I pray that this word bless you today. Let me encourage you that God has saved you to save others. This week, I believe you could open your mouth and be a blessing to somebody. Invite them, pray for them, encourage them. Whatever it is, I believe the word of God is in your mouth to change your world. Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. Let me encourage you to check out planetshakers.com, or you can check us online at social media at Planet Shakers. And we would love to stay in touch with you and keep you in touch with everything that's going on in the Planet Shakers world. God bless you. Can't wait to see you again next week.